Alright, so hey, if you did not understand any of that, that is the Middle School Boys Girl Group. They are here with the podcast tonight, and they are going to be asking questions of me and Jeffrey throughout this, and maybe each other, and we're just going to have a discussion tonight, as if it was a girl group for the podcast. So here we go. Alright, we're recording now. And I just got whoever said pick their nose. So that is going to stay in the podcast. So, awesome. Let's go jump in. Questions from Middle School Boys Grow Group.
What's the meaning of life?
Jeffrey, what's your answer?
Oh, I have to go first? I feel like there's so many different ways that you can kind of answer this question. I'm trying to avoid the churchy... like the typical churchy answer.
Well, what's the typical churchy answer?
I feel like it's like find out why God made you and like find out why God decided that the world needed a Nick Damani or a Jeffrey McBride or stuff like that. It's like why did God go through the time of creating specifically you to benefit the earth? And then once you kind of find out that, whether it's like, oh, in your position, okay, it's going to be serving in a church alongside the youth. Maybe.
So I'd challenge you on that a little bit. That's a really like narcissistic answer. That the meaning of life is why was I specifically created?
Well, I mean, that goes for each person. It's not like a, why did you guys all benefit because I was born? That's not what I was trying to say. It's like, each person individually figuring out why themselves were created.
So anyone know why God, or what the purpose of God creating humans was?
Mm-mm, why?
So, was that it? Oh, no. I thought that was a hand. I'm trying to find it really fast in scripture because I didn't think we would go this direction necessarily. But when God created humans, he had a purpose for us. That we were to work in the garden. That he was, you know, we were created with a purpose and a job. And he told us to do certain things. Like, okay, so you're going to work the ground. Not in a painful way, because that's later on. That we were to, like, partner with him in creation and naming animals and naming things that he created. He also, in the description of creation of, like, in that time frame, there was specifically mentioned certain rivers that went by and, like, what resources were in the ground. Like, what, there's ore and there was gold and there was all these things. So it's like, if you read that with the right mindset, you're like, okay, so he's saying, here's all of the raw elements I gave you. Now go create something with it. And then on top of all of that, he even said, like, our job is to be fruitful and multiply. So, like, the purpose of life is to do what God told us to do, is to take care of his creation, to be fruitful and multiply, to have a family, to live through this, and then to follow him in what he created you to do. And so all of that boiled up into also the answer. I think you were going halfway there, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
If we don't know who he is, mm-hmm. how do we know what he wanted from us?
Right.
And so, like, all of that to say, you have to understand who he is too, right? So that's a big piece of that, is getting to know him. That would be my not so simple answer.
Sort of going off of his since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden for eating the fruit, and we were supposed to work in the Garden of Eden, why didn't he just destroy us?
Well, that's what I've always wondered, is why, like, we were so early on in the creation, God could have just wiped Adam and Eve right then and there, and then start over and not had to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And it would have never been recorded.
So why do you think...
I mean, that's what kind of what we talked about
the other day. Why do you think he did it?
I think it shows his patience and his mercy. Because think of when we screw up, he could just snap his fingers, Thanos snap, and just erase you right off the earth.
That would not work in that circumstance, because then there would just be one of them.
Yeah.
Because it would be 50%. Okay, sorry. I'm too geeky. Move on. I think the answer simply is, I don't know. We've got to be comfortable not knowing, right? Mm-hmm. He could have. Absolutely. He chose not to. Why? I don't know. Now what? Now what does that mean for us? That means that he's providing a way for redemption. Are you going to take that or not?
I think this is an answer to his question.
Yeah, go for it.
I think he didn't because he knew he had to, later, he had to bring down his one and only son.
Because he did, right? Scripture does say that from the beginning of time, he knew that Christ was going to do that.
Yeah.
So, he already knew that. So, it's not like, oh, it's a mistake. So, he knows there's an answer coming.
So, one of the things that I've wondered about this, too, how do we know he hasn't? And that, this, Adam and Eve was... I don't know, maybe,
Okay, so this has been an interesting thought Jeffrey and I have been discussing
for
weeks.
We've been discussing this for a few weeks every time.
Let me say this very clearly. We started talking on Sunday, right, about the differences between orthodox theology and heresy. And if you guys weren't there with us, we're talking about, orthodoxy means this is what the church believes, and if it's not this, that means it's in direct contradiction to Scripture, which we would call that heresy and not something the church believes. And so that's a really dumbed down, not very clear description of that. But we're going to talk about that more on Sunday. So if you guys join us, we're going to be really breaking down that idea. But there's three realms of thought process that I want to talk about, in the center of a bullseye of a dartboard, right? You've got core doctrine. That's the teachings of the church that you cannot mess with. Jesus is who he says he was, that he died for you. That God is the Trinity, that there's three in one. Those kind of things that they cannot be debated and still be Christianity. Then you got outside that, you've got what we would call denominational differences. Different people have different beliefs on what baptism should be. And so that doesn't mean they're not saved or they're not Christian, but it's a big enough tension that people say we're going to worship in different churches. So that's why you have different churches in the same town that look a little bit different. Then you got this outer ring that's still in orthodoxy that we will never have answers to. And they're just fun to ponder and think. That's what we're in right now. So I want to make it clear that what we're about to say does not mean that you're not a Christian if you disagree with me or I disagree with you. Because we have no answers on this. It fits with Scripture. It does not contradict blatantly, but it's just weird to think about. So that being said, we've been discussing this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you asked the question, how do we know he didn't just start over and try again? We don't know. Okay, so then you think about Noah's Ark. Okay, what was the promise at the end of Noah's Ark?
It would change. He wouldn't flood the world again.
He wouldn't flood the world ever again.
Does that
Did he do it prior? Prior to that, did he do that and not save people? Or did he wipe the world in other ways? Or by saying, I will never flood the world again, does that leave the door open for other ways for him to do that again?
I said I'll never flood the world again. I never said that I won't burn the world.
Right? There's some weird options there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that I think God's going to do this. But these are fun things to ponder as whoa. This is bigger than I can comprehend. And I think that's the important thing here is remembering that God is bigger than we can comprehend and being open.
So, with Noah's Ark, has it ever been found where it landed? Well, I know it says the mountain that it was at, but, has it ever been, found anywhere?
It says Mount Ararat in the Bible, doesn't it? They just recently, within the last 10 years, I thought, had found a large wooden structure that when you look at all the measurements that God had gave them, they match up almost to the millimeter. And so a lot of people were thinking that they had found the remains of Noah's Ark on top of a mountain in It's like Siberia, or was it Mount Ararat, wherever that is? I think it's in.
Well, so here's the issue. Lots of mountains have been named after biblical mountains.
So it's
Mount Ararat. There's a ton of Mount Ararats, and there's a ton of Mount Carmels, and like so.
Oh man.
Is that necessarily the same mountain from that time frame?
Huh.
That's always been debatable. Yes, there has been some archaeological finds. It's not been officially stated that that's exactly that what that is, but we don't know. We're guessing. We're hoping. I think it is,
mm-hmm.
but that's my own personal belief. It's kind of like... Here's the thing that's interesting to me. Every single continent has some like native group that's been there that have a mythological story or passed down story of a global flood. So to me, I don't think I need to find the Ark to say, is that true or not? When you look around the world, and all these people groups say there was a global flood, that seems believable enough to me to trust scripture.
And then I think with some science also proves it with like archaeologists. What are they called?
Archaeologists.
Yes, archaeologists. I don't know why I can't say that. I don't even know if it's actually that profession that does it, but it's when they look at the Earth and then they realize, oh, the Earth is like...
Geologists.
And then it's like 2.5 million years old, but when we look at scripture, it's not that old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there was a massive flood, there was probably a lot of water pressure
right.
that
well,
squeezed
the, way that
the Earth together to make it look older.
The way that you test sedimentary records and like where they recreate that in a lab to see how it works, what you need is water to shake up the soil, and then you need pressure to combine it back down into those sedimentary
mm-hmm.
lines that they define things with. So if there's a flood, you're recreating
flood.
That. So
right.
you're shaking up that dirt. And then to have enough water to be taller than any mountain on Earth, the amount of pressure that would put on things is insane. So you would be falsifying sedimentary records that would say it's been more time passed than in the exact same way they tested in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to me.
Yeah.
Again.
I think it proves the fact
again,
that
I think all of this is that outer ring of within Orthodox belief,
mm-hmm.
fun to ponder, will not have an answer.
Do you think with Noah's Ark, they just kind of left the fish in the water? Because if you think about it, the freshwater balance of the salt water would be like...
Okay, because you guys... How many of you guys grew up here, like, most of your life? Okay.
Can't say that.
I hope you're going to answer this right. Our state fossil is... Okay, so here's my thought process, right? That's the thing that's always got me. Is like, we have so many more fossil records of aquatic things.
Like
at least
in
our area, right? And we're in a desert, right?
Right.
So it's like, I think, yeah, I think the things that were in the water, they survived.
Right.
They didn't have to, you know, that's why we had an ark is to save what was on land. They couldn't survive.
So that that's why when the flood receded, all those large dinosaur-like type entheosaurus aquatic mammals, they got stuck on land because the water receded and they couldn't go off. That's why we have a lot of aquatic things.
Which is why the Loch Ness Monster is stuck where it is and proving that he's real.
Isn't the
Loch Ness Monster is
the,
a,
isn't,
it's
been Pyramid Lake, right?
No,
the Loch Ness Monster's in Scotland. In Loch Laven. In Pyramid, there's some freaky things too. Pyramid creeps me out.
The water
babies
in Pyramid.
Well, that's a whole myth thing too. But
there's Tahoe Tessie.
That lake is
Tahoe Tessie. Yeah,
it's a Lake Tahoe.
So yeah, like I think potentially, yeah, like we don't see in scripture God ever saying, "Hey, save the animals." I've seen like paintings of the Ark where like people guess that like, oh, there was like two dolphins next to it and two whales, and they kind of swam with it. I'm like, well, That's dumb. Everyone else is fine. Like, there's no point.
I never realized.
So God's logical, right? Like, that's what you have to remember.
Did all the fish have to go to where Noah was? Or did they just, like...
They just chilled out.
Yeah, they should just chill.
I always assume that
they got...
Hold on. I was joking with Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily believe that the Loch Ness Monster is real. That was a joke. All right, so as we had a little bit of a technical error in that, we're going to jump backwards. So now you're just saying, like, what about the food?
Yeah, so you'd have to think with two pairs of every animal on Earth, when there's millions of species of animals, you'd have to think...
I love that you're going this way because I'm going to rip this apart. It's going to be great. Continue.
You'd have to think that you'd have to supply some sort of food for every animal.
Okay, so first off, that is mentioned in scripture. So he talks about like two of each animal,
mm-hmm.
but then he also talks about other things that he was supposed to bring on there for those animals to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there were animals that were there for the sole purpose of feeding the other animals.
Oh.
Okay. Here's the other thing.
Never thought of that either.
How many breeds of dog have been created in the last 15 years? Do you know?
200? Yeah.
Like, I don't have the number, but it's a lot, right?
So, I was asking you, because I honestly didn't.
Like, seriously, no, but that's the thing. Is like, no one heard of, like, a Labradoodle, like, 30 years ago.
Right.
Like, that wasn't a thing.
It didn't exist.
That's so weird.
It didn't exist yet. And how did it get there?
Evolution.
God.
I wouldn't say evolution necessarily. We think, when you say that just as
genetic
itself,
mutation.
We think evolution, there's two different terms here. There's macroevolution and microevolution. Microevolution, absolutely, that like, as humans, we see like taller, stronger people as more attractive for some reason. And so as time has gone on and people have been marrying people that they find more attractive, the gene pool changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we taller people breed with taller people and make taller kids, okay? That's microevolution. That is exactly what we're talking about here. We're not talking macroevolution of jumping from species to species.
From like gorilla to man or from fish to
but,
gorilla.
But yes, we do change. And so like by breeding this type of dog with this type of dog within the same species, we get weirder looking things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's really bad. Like some dogs, because they've been bred certain ways, they can't walk and they can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, well, all that to say...
Like a pug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's I think, 8 types of elephants in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say...
He only had the one type of elephant.
There was one type of elephant
and
at that time frame. So they really only needed 2 elephants. But as they bred and their descendants bred, you got 8 different distinctive looking types of elephants. So really it started with those 2 that were on the ark. Possible. So we hear 2 of every type of animal and we think every breed and everything rather than every one.
Like 2 pugs, 2 black labs,
so
2 pit bulls.
Well,
is that a possibility? I think yes.
And to kind of add on to that, do you think he like kept insects as well?
Like mosquitoes.
Do I think that he might have accidentally left like unicorns and griffins off? Is the same answer, right? Like, mythical creatures, did they exist, and did they not get on the ark? I think God's sovereign enough to make the right thing happen. But yeah, I do think insects were a part of that. And do I wish he didn't with some of them? Yes.
Mosquitoes.
Dang it, right?
Mosquitoes.
Hold on.
Say it louder.
Based off of what you said earlier, how some animals were on there to feed other animals. If there's 2 of each animal, how and one dies, wouldn't that kill the rest?
Here's what I was saying. There's 2 of each animal,
yes.
Plus extras. If you go read the biblical account.
Oh.
2, and then more.
These 2
so, like, there were certain
breeding.
Ones that I think there were supposed to be 7.
These are food.
And it was because of those kind of things. We also have to remember... People think, like, well, how would you keep them alive for that long? It was 40 days.
That's not too hard.
So you don't, and, like, things like this. Like, weirdly, I know this because I did weird things in college. A piranha
oh, gosh.
Can
oh,
go no. 7 days without eating.
Why?
I know these things. I'll tell the story another time, another place.
Not on the podcast.
But they can go 7 days without eating. I don't know how long an elephant can go without eating. Maybe the only elephant only needs to eat every 14 days. I don't know. I don't know elephants that
2 weeks.
But I know elephants have a 2-year gestation period, which is weird. And they're pregnant for 2 full years. Anyway.
What's 3 weeks?
Yeah. Here's the other thing with Noah's Ark that we kind of talked Sunday. We always assume that they were full-grown adult animals.
Oh,
yeah.
You would have a lot more room on that boat and a lot less food to give them if they were babies.
But what happens? What happened with all the termites and all the beavers? And all the wood eating.
Okay, beavers don't eat wood, people.
I talked about this
before. They don't eat wood.
They eat wood. They
build things with wood.
Yes.
You don't think that the beavers would eat the side of the?
You don't think Noah's got the ability to like put it in a cage and say, "Don't do that"?
That's like a beaver tearing up a dam to build a dam.
Wait,
I don't know how beavers work.
Well, you have to realize is there's a logical answer to things. People go, "Well, what? What would you do with that?" Well, I wouldn't put them on, like, the bottom deck where if they ate through, they're going to sink. Like, I'm going to think through where I put those animals,
and also,
right?
Like, you... Because I think it says that God pacifies the animals. Otherwise, you have, like, lions and then
and
pigs on the same boat.
You have hostile animals next to passive animals,
so,
and they never...
So, is God... all powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, could it be that God is in control and could subdue animals for 40 days so that they don't have to attack each other?
Were they
could it be that God is all powerful so that he could make it miraculously to where they didn't have to eat for 40 days in general?
And
like you got to realize there's worth most people's arguments with Noah's Ark is assuming that God doesn't have the ability to work in this in ways that we can't understand or are out of our abilities.
And kind of adding on to that, it's like, well, what do you do with a polar bear? Which, yes, they can survive in summer, but they're used to polar climate. And, like, a chimpanzee from the Amazon who are used to completely different climates and are stuck on the same boat.
But if we're going back to the other thing,
right.
It would be bear, not polar bear. It would be, like, the original bear thingy and what that looked like and the original, like, chimpanzee thingy and what that looked like.
Right.
And we don't know what that could have been. Because, like, there's an... constant reference in the Old Testament of most English translations say mountain goat or wild elk. Something like that. Wild gazelle or wild elk or something. We don't know what this animal is because that thing has gone extinct by now.
Right.
So you go back to not the New King James Version, but the King James Version. They translated it as unicorn. So yes, there's a Bible out there that says unicorns exist. Because we didn't know what to call that thing. So now we've kind of like, through context, through history, and looking back in things, we know it was some sort of mountain goat-y type thing that could like walk really well in like mountain areas on like steep cliffs and stuff. Which we do now, like there are goats like that. Like by the way, if anyone's not watched Blue Planet or Planet Earth, man, there's so many
so
cool
good.
Things.
Oh my gosh.
and I was watching something like that and I was like, oh, that is exactly it because it's in like Psalms and it's talking about like, and give me the like confidence to walk in you the way that these things walk on these steep cliffs and mountains. Like they just know what they're doing. And so it's like, okay, that makes sense. With that context, I'm gonna say that was a fun conversation. We are already past what our normal 25-ish minute episode is, so we're gonna wrap this up now. But just like all of our grow groups, we go for about an hour, and so if you want discussions like this, come to grow groups, join us, and you get to join into this conversation for hours. So we're gonna shut off the microphone and continue the conversation as a grow group for the next bit before group is over tonight. So thanks for listening to our podcast.